The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Friday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network. VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. It's our final day at the South Point, y'all. How you doing, Kelly?
A little sad.
Yeah.
A little happy.
Melancholy.
Friday.
It's melancholy. Raining outside.
Yeah, it's raining.
Apropos.
Yeah, it's been raining all morning or all night. I don't know. It was raining when I went to bed last night. It's
supposed to rain most of the weekend.
What is this?
I don't know.
I moved out here for.
What is this, the East Coast?
Yeah, come on.
We will pay tribute, final tribute to the South Point later in the show. Chrissy Andrews, Vinny Maliulo will join us. Nothing will change, by the way. We're not going anywhere. Let me just point that out. Nothing will change on your end. Fine, ladies and gentlemen, listeners of this show and this network.
Yeah, especially if you listen to us every day and don't watch.
especially if you listen to us, absolutely nothing will change. It's just that we've been here 6.5 years. So we're gonna talk to Chrissy and Vinny at the end of the show today. We have a lot of college football today. Pete Futak will join us from collegefootballnews.com. The Bear, Chris Felica from Fox Sports will join us to talk college football, as will Dr. Bob, his first weekly appearance in earnest for this season in college football, but beyond his season win total. Zach Cohen on the U.S. Open. I split mine again yesterday. Was looking for the clean sweep. Sasha Vickery up 4-3, had two break points to go up 5-3 in the third set yesterday, and she squanders them and she loses.
Got a nice win out of Mo, though, right?
Michael Moe.
I was walking around the house, had that on the TV. I saw him. What was he, down two sets, right?
He's down two sets, but I mean that was part of the handicap, though. You know, like, Isner will tire at some point, and he did. But then Isner sort of got a second wind. He had announced before the tournament, this is my last tournament, so everybody knew this was, if he loses, he loses, and this is the end of his 17-year tennis career, where he spent a lot of it in the top 20, got as high as number 8 in the world, 16 titles. But had the misfortune, again, his only crime, being born at the same time as Roger Federer, Rafa Nadal, and Novak Djokovic. But he ends his career, so we split again yesterday. I have one pick in tennis, and we'll get Zach Cohen's pick coming up at the U.S. Open as the third round begins today. And who did I leave out? Oh, Jason Weingarten from Under a Cloud of Smoke, of course, in Southern Cali, talking baseball with us on the heels of a Dodgers-Braves game. Boy, that got tight last night late. Braves end up beating the Dodgers 8-7. We got to talk about Strider and the Cy Young here momentarily, because this to me is fascinating. Fascinating how, because this is going to be such a referendum on baseball card stat, one baseball card stat versus every other stat. What has manifested in advanced metrics and what is yet to manifest. Well, matter of fact, let's just go into that now. Which is to say that, well, first of all, should we even, I want to say, but we have three college football guests. So let me just say about college football last night. Because I just want to throw a curveball on this. Because I want to point this out. Live betting opportunity last night on UCF ridiculous, right? UCF, they could just name their score against Kent State. I had an in-game 55.5 that just eked in there.
Yeah, you went over. I did lay the points with UCF.
You could have done that over and over and over.
Yeah, you really could. So I hit it when they were up 14-0. Like, it was very obvious. And, you know, credit to Tim Murray, right? Came on here yesterday.
Yep.
I was not aware Kent State didn't have a single returning starter on offense. And, what the defense got gashed. What was it, like 700 yards or something like that?
That final touchdown, though, came, UCF just absolutely rolls Kent State. UCF, it came down to, will the clock run out or will they score one more time? And they scored one more time, and so they roll Kent State.
723 yards is what UCF put up last night.
723 yards. And, I mean, that again, we just want to emphasize the in-game opportunities that present themselves in college football. They're so apparent. And we can do all the talking we want beforehand. Sometimes the best betting opportunities are the most brain-dead ones when you just start watching a college football game. The mark, first of all, and then Nebraska and Minnesota was just utter dreck. Minnesota ends up beating Nebraska. I don't know how. Nebraska with a final insult pick with just over a minute left. And Minnesota ends up winning it on a field goal at the end. 13-10. Barn burner.
Yeah, I think I flipped over to that one. It was second quarter, 3-0, and I think an audible groan just came out of me, and I switched the channel. I was like, oh, Big Ten football. I'm changing.
Yeah. And then I guess what was considered the marquee matchup of the night was Florida and Utah. And if Utah wins it 24-11, that was a pre-flop under for many of us, where we're just sort of like, I got talked into it. I can take no credit myself for that. I got talked into that, which is, it felt like Utah just sort of rolled into that one. Florida had a moment in the first half where you're like, oh, maybe Graham Mertz and these guys down 7-3, maybe they won't get rolled in this game. But they gave a bunch of big plays. The two quarterback attack from Utah dominated. It could be a very, very dicey year again for Billy Napier over there at Florida. We'll talk to again Futak, Felica, and of course Dr. Bob about all this. About the game last night, because I know a lot of people are like, oh, we're going to talk Cy Young again. I'm not going to go into it. Well, yeah, maybe I will, because I think the referendum in the Cy Young Award is so going to be so fascinating. We are, after all, handicapping what the voters will do in an NL Cy Young. Will they care about ERA? And if they do, last night in the 8-7, Braves went over the Dodgers. Spencer Strider went 6 innings, gave up 4 earned runs, 9 Ks, 2 walks. So a typical Spencer Strider thing, in which his whip remains very good, his strikeout rate remains very good, but he gives up 4 earned runs in 6 innings on a Mookie Betts wall scraper, maybe even a glove scraping 3-run Jimmy Jack. That was the big moment of that ball game. At DraftKings, Blake Snell is plus 100, Spencer Strider is plus 180. If you go to FanDuel, Strider is close to $4, I believe, in this. So I went through the other day how, to me, we compared it to Zach Gallen that day more than to Blake Snell, but now that Blake Snell is the favorite. Strider, you know, again, 38% K rate off the charts. His K minus walk rate is 30.4. That's better than the K rates of all but 3 starters in MLB. Third best ground ball rate. Second best expected ERA. Number 1 in fielding independent. Number 1 in xFIP. 4.8 WAR. Second, according to FanGraphs. What are we even talking about? But I am the first to admit, and I've said this before on this show, that if your ERA if it still starts to seep upwards, voters are going to be influenced by such a thing. So his ERA went from 3.46 to 3.56 last night with that performance. And my very arbitrary number is, I think if you get into the 3.3s, then ERA doesn't become a thing. And he was trending in that direction, and I think he will again. So your bets come down to, what do you think will matter, and maybe even more important, what do you think will manifest between now and the end of the season? Because Spencer Strider did get the win last night, so that's, if you want to give me ERA, Blake Snell's ERA is almost a run better. Almost a run better than Strider's at this point. Not his expected ERA, because Strider, in all the real skill set categories, is a much more dominant pitcher. But what do you think will manifest between now and the end of the year? And that's where this becomes such an interesting bet. Do you believe in analytics manifesting between now and the end of the year, that small runway that still exists, still about 5 starts? Or do you think this Blake Snell magic carpet ride is going to continue? Now, why do I call it a magic carpet ride with Blake Snell? Because if you look at Blake Snell's numbers, he has, in addition to his great ERA of 2.6, he has the highest walk rate in all of Major League Baseball, 13.7%. He has the highest walks per 9, 5.13. So you say to yourself, how does this guy who has this gaudy walk rate, how could he possibly be the Cy Young? How could he possibly have this ERA? Well, I'll tell you why. 2 reasons. By the way, his expected ERA, 3.96. Like ordinary schmordinary. But how is he able to have this worst walk rate and worst walks per 9 rate in all of Major League Baseball and still have this amazing ERA? 2 reasons. 1, a 2.67 BABIP, which is about the 4th or 5th most fortunate in all of baseball. And here's the real stat, Kelly. Blake Snell is Houdini. He has an 85.7% strand rate. 85.7% is LOB rate, left on base. So I, who have, for those of us baseball geeks who have had our nose in FanGraphs for years, decades, when I see 85.7%, I immediately think, wait a minute, what's the highest strand rate in the history of Major League Baseball in a season? And the answer is...
just period?
By any season, any season of qualified starters.
Okay.
The Candyman, John Candelaria, of the Pittsburgh Pirates in 1977 for the Buccos, 88.8%. Snell's is 85.7%.
Wow.
So the people who have Snell tickets, they don't want to talk about the walk rate, right? Because he has this amazing strand rate. So listen, if he gets through the season still as this Houdini, and Strider's ERA is 3.5, whatever it is, let's say it stays the same, there's a case. But if Strider goes down to 3.3 and this walk slash strand rate thing actually regresses, and we see after one start how voters immediately, how the market changes over a course of four or five starts now between the end of the season, this is what you're betting on. This is what you're betting on. That's why if FanDuel, you can get like plus, what is it, plus 380 on Strider right now? I got to check what the updated number is.
390.
390. Even better. You got to make that bet. And he got through the Dodgers now. Was it a net positive for Snell bettors yesterday? Probably incrementally, because the ERA went up from 3.46 to 3.56 for Strider. But I hope all of that makes sense, that what you're betting on is, yes, what will the voters care about in the end, but even more so, and this is why you try to get ahead of this, what will manifest in this last month? Do you think that the runway is long enough for the Snell thing to finally meet its truth? And do you think Strider, in the end, if he ends up with like a 3.35 ERA and all these other things are gaudy as heck, by the way, I don't see how you can't vote for him. So to me, you got a plus 390 available to you? Oh man, I'd bet it all day long. I'd bet anything in plus. I really would. Spencer Strider, the most dominant pitcher in all of baseball. We'll see if he wins the Cy Young, but he does have to get that ERA down. I will even acknowledge that myself. Let's begin the college football cavalcade on the other side. Pete Futak from College Football News. Next, Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. It's a Numbers Game live at the South Point Hotel Casino, tip of the strip. We get tweets and Tom Tango has written us back because I asked him, I go, what do you mean about the FIP comment? We're talking about NL Cy Young and his Tango Cy Young tracker, which has successfully picked seven of the last 12 eventual Cy Young winners, American League and National League, last 6 years. And some years he gets like 1 through 5 correct. Like, it's an amazing predictor. And it's a very simple formula. I won't bore you with the formula, but trust me that it comes with really an emphasis on wins and ERA, which is his way of saying all this other stuff we talk about, typically, you know, the stuff that actually reflects a starting pitcher's true skill set, fielding independent, XFIP, that sort of thing, K rate, oftentimes with voters doesn't come into play. So what he's saying, he goes, this will be, and he says essentially what I was saying earlier, which is this is going to be a referendum on advanced stats. He says, if Snell wins, then we know the voters are completely ignoring fielding independent pitching, FIP, FIP. If he finishes third or lower, then voters are all in on FIP. If he finished second, then we can't tell either way. So, yeah, that's what he meant, just clarifying the fielding independent comment. Because, again, Spencer Strider, number one in fielding independent, number one in XFIP, number one in K-Ray, number one in K per nine. Do you want me to stop, Kelly? I can just keep going if you want me to. Mike Rouse, AT&T and DirecTV have stopped showing Fox, so we get hosed on CFB this weekend and NFL starting next weekend. What? Where are you, Mike Rouse?
There's problems like this all over the country. It's incredible.
Yeah, incognito better. DirecTV is fighting with my local CBS affiliate right now as well. Haven't been able to watch golf on the weekends outside of the PGA Tour app for at least a month. I'm not going to complain about announcers anymore because at least we get to hear them.
Yeah, for real.
Chris Felica, ladies and gentlemen, he is the bear. He is the bear at Fox, and he has podcasts that he hosts, multiple ones, including having Will Hill as a guest. It's Chris Felica, everybody. How you doing, Chris?
I'm doing well, sitting here in Fort Worth, getting ready for the weekend. And it's interesting, the whole Cy Young. And look, full disclosure, I stand to win a very good amount if Strider wins. But remember last year and in previous years how, like, the argument, like, when it came to the MVP race was, how can you give it to Shohei Ohtani? The Angels aren't playing any important games down the stretch.
Exactly.
He's compiling stats.
Yes.
The Padres suck.
Exactly.
The Padres haven't been in an important game in months. Yeah. And so it's okay to give it to Snell now? It's fascinating. It just goes to show you, and maybe you and I are the same way, you're choosing the argument that supports your bet and what you believe while your player should win. So it will be interesting to see how it plays out, because if you look at the Snell, like the way the Padres end the year, like they have some bad teams at the end. Now again, they stink, but if Snell goes out and plays well, that will help. But they have like the White Sox at the end of the A's, the Rockies, the Cardinals. Like, he's going to get some bad teams in those last couple starts of the year, so maybe that does factor into your handicapping.
Yeah, he's also got the Dodgers, I think, one of those as well. So we'll see.
Dodgers, Astros, and Giants.
Yeah.
Those are the next three.
Come on, Giants. Have some magic that night. You're right. It's some of the same people who made that argument about Shohei are going the opposite on Snell. I do concede the ERA point. I absolutely do concede the ERA point. Strider has to bring that down just a skosh. What do you like best in college football? So, first of all, you're in Fort Worth for which game?
Colorado TCU.
So, let's start there. How do you feel about Colorado and being 20.5 point dogs? Let's start with that game. And I know you can't give a lean, but go ahead.
Yeah, no. I'm perfectly content giving a lean. I love the TCU team total over 41.5. That's how I am playing this game. Remember, there were people last year that thought Chandler Morris was better than Max Duggan, and Chandler Morris actually was the starting quarterback at TCU at the start of the year last year before ultimately got dinged up and Duggan took over, and the rest is history. He went on to lead into the national title game and finish the Heisman runner-up. They do have a lot to replace on the offensive side of the ball, but I think they feel pretty good about their wide receiver room with Richardson and Jared Wiley, the tight end, is back. As well, and I get the sense Colorado is worried defensively. Like, I'm just trying to put myself in like the shoes of the Colorado defensive coordinator, Charles Kelly. Like, you bring in an entirely new roster after spring ball, and now you've got to have these guys go out who aren't familiar with each other and know where they're going to be. Like, you should know like your teammates or something. You know that where they're going to be, and like you can trust them. And it's kind of, you build that up over spring and playing football together for a long time. And I don't know if that's there. I think we're probably going to see Travis Hunter more on defense now. I think we're going to see him more on offense. But I think they're so worried about TCU and that group of wide receivers in that offense that they expect TCU to score. And remember as well, normally with teams that aren't expected to be very good, a lot of times you'll get stuck in a look-ahead situation, or maybe you'll catch a team sleeping and pull an upset. This is not that. This is a team that every coach in the Pac-12 and every coach in the country is lining up to beat. This is a bad team that has been circled on everybody's schedule. So if teams get an opportunity to go out and put 50, 60 points on the board on this team, they're absolutely going to. So I like the TCU team total over 41.5 tomorrow.
Over 41.5, Colorado and TCU. TCU team total over 41.5 in this one. All right, that's the game that you will be at. What is your best bet of the weekend, sir?
I like Washington minus 14 against Boise State. Normally, I don't like buying into some of these hype teams at the start of the year, like Washington is coming off that surprising 10-win season. I liked UW last year because I thought with DeBoer, the new head coach, and Penix coming in, with him at quarterback, they had an opportunity to surprise and score some points, and they did. But now they're basically being expected to do it again. However, in this spot, I don't like the matchup at all for Boise State. With Helani and Taylor Green, they're more of a run-based offense. I don't think their offensive line is going to be able to blow Washington's front four, front seven off the ball and be able to get Helani those easy yards. I don't think Boise has the game breakers at wide receiver like they had in the past. I think Washington at home, knowing the familiarity in that region, how Boise kind of gets a lot of headlines, is a really good opportunity for UW to get off there for a good start. And remember, this is a Boise team that last year against Oregon State, another Pac-12 team, lost by 17, gave up 500 yards, committed a bunch of turnovers. And if you go back since 2016, Boise's 2-7 in their last 9 games against Power 5 teams. And 5 of those losses were by at least 17 points. So, like, this is not the Ian Johnson, Sobranski, go to Florida, Bachmeyer and his first going to Florida State and winning. Like, this isn't that Boise team. So I like UW laying the 14 against Boise.
Who could forget Bachmeyer going to FSU, Kelly? I know you can't forget that one.
Hey, we're back!
OK, Okay, sorry. All right, give me one. Give me one more, Chris. One more that you like.
South Alabama getting 6.5 against Tulane. It's a scary, scary game for Tulane. While Michael Pratt is back at quarterback, Tyjae Spears, who's turning heads in NFL camps, is gone. The linebacker is the heart and soul of that defense, Dorian Williams, Nick Anderson. They're gone. This is a real role reversal game. This is what Tulane was last year in the role. South Alabama underdog, pulling an upset at Kansas State early in the year. And if you look at South Alabama, they've got a bunch of starters back. Their losses last year in the regular season were by a point at UCLA and by 4 at Troy, who wound up winning the Sun Belt. So this is a 10-win team with a ton coming back. Wouldn't surprise me at all if South Alabama won this game outright, but I do like the Jags plus the 6.5 against Tulane.
Okay, let's squeeze in one more. I lied.
You lied? Middle Tennessee getting 39 against Alabama. I know Bob just alluded to the under in that game.
Yep.
And I agree. Like, I think it's Nick Saban typically doesn't blow out and embarrass coaches like this, like Rick Stockstill and lesser programs. And Alabama's in an interesting situation because you really don't know who the quarterback's going to be. You have Texas next week on the schedule, so you don't want to show a lot. But at the same time, you need to put each of these quarterbacks in a position to see how they run the offense and you see who is in the best position to succeed. So it's a weird dynamic for the new offensive coordinator, Tommy Reese, and for Nick Saban. Like 45-7 is not a final score. It's out of the realm of possibility in this game. So give me Middle Tennessee plus the 39 in a situation where I think they can just kind of maybe Alabama sleepwalks a little bit and Middle Tennessee can get one touchdown in there.
All right.
Before I go, by the way,
yes.
I want to say one thing.
Oh, no.
No. It's good. I hope everybody involved at VSIN, and like there wouldn't be a VSIN if it wasn't for Michael Gaughan at South Point. So like I know this is your last show there, and I've always loved coming into there at Studio C and Chrissy and seeing everybody there. But look, I love Circa, and I love the guys there, and growth is inevitable. But I just hope everybody involved in the entire project realizes and appreciates and understands everything that Michael Gaughan and the South Point did to get that network off the ground. So thanks to them for everything.
Thanks for stealing my line, Chris. Appreciate that. And a big close plan and everything. Yeah, no, that's great.
Anything I can do to steal your thunder, Joe.
Unbelievable. When's your podcast? When can people expect it? Real quick, 10 seconds.
The podcast is up Thursday, the college one. The pro one will be up on Friday starting next week.
Chris Velika, the Bear, at Chris Velika, FALLICA on Twitter. Jason Weingarten from Under a Cloud of Smoke on Major League Baseball next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back at the South Point, it is Gil Alexander. It's come to this. This is not a goodbye, but as mentioned, this is not only the final numbers game at the South Point Hotel Casino, but this is the final segment of the final VSiN show to broadcast from this studio adjacent to the sportsbook at the South Point that started mysteriously behind a wall, a mysterious wall here in late 2016 and early 2017, and has been home to us for 6.5 years. Brian Musburger, the Musburger family, Bill Ades' vision coming to life. Our first broadcast, you may or may not remember, was Super Bowl 51, February 5th, 2017, famously the one where the Falcons gave up the 28-3 lead to the Patriots, and then regular VSiN programming commenced in earnest a few weeks later on February 27th, 2017. That day we broadcast for 5 hours. It was 2 hours hosted by Al Bernstein, 2 hours by the great Brent Musburger, and 1 hour in between by this little pisher, me, Gil Alexander. We're still trying to figure out how that happened. It was and continues to be a dream of a lifetime. I mentioned it yesterday. I did the math between a numbers game and primetime action, which I did with Kelly and with Matt Brown. Minus vacation, I've hosted over 2,000 shows from this studio. Matt Eumanns has been here from the very beginning as well. And Jonathan Von Tobel, who started out as Brent's producer. I know he wanted to be here as well to pay tribute. So shout out to those two guys. And while all of our regular programming will continue, nothing's going to change on your end. Starting this weekend, all shows that had broadcast out of this studio will now originate from Bar Canada at the D downtown, and we look forward to making new memories there. But for those of us who have been here from the beginning, this place means a lot to us. And we wanted to pay it one final tribute. So after all, there would be, as Chris Felica stole the line earlier, there would be no Veasan without Michael gone. And so to help us pay tribute, while the consigliere of Chrissy, Jimmy Vaccaro, is not here, he's here in spirit, but we do have my mishpucha, Chrissy Andrews, who runs the South Point Hotel Casino from right behind us. And of course, Gone Gaming's Vinny Maiolio, who probably took more incoming from me through the years. Gentlemen, on behalf of everybody, thank you. We appreciate it.
My pleasure. It was great being here all these years. It was fantastic.
And it really is true. There would be no Veasan without Michael Gaughan. So we have to give
him. Absolutely. I'm glad the Bear said that because it's 100% true. He built this studio. Just a little reminder, you know, we wanted to keep this thing secret. So when Michael built the studio, he put signage up. Welcome to Jimmy Vaccaro's South Point Casino.
Right,
and
right.
That was like the, what did Alfred say, the MacGuffin, you know, the distraction. And people were coming, did Jimmy buy out Michael Gaughan? Maybe. But you see the signage. And
Well, I remember in early July we came here. We mm-hmm. were in behind those walls. And I remember the three of us, because I remember Vinny was there too. And I thought, I was like, we're doing a show on the Super Bowl. There's no way this studio is going to mm-hmm. be ready to go. And yet we were. And it's been awesome. I mean, the memories here that we created, the bets we've won from day one, it's been awesome. And so it's just this incredible thing. And again, I just want to stress it again. Not only is nothing changing, Chrissy, you have something on that. It's not changing at all. In fact, what's the news?
The news is... I always said I just wanted things to continue the way they were. Now, I know you're going to be at a different studio, but as of not this Monday, but the following Monday, we will be doing Guessing Lines together, you and
hey.
I.
Hey!
There you go, buddy.
There you go.
See that?
We will be doing that. So rest assured, everybody. I know it's been a tweet storm.
Yeah, it has
been. We could calm the storm a little bit.
Yeah.
We are going to continue as was for the time being. Just you and I are going to be in different studios.
A tradition unlike any other. I wouldn't have done it without you, so I'm glad. Vincenzo.
What do you say, Gilly? Chrissy hit the key points, no question about. Of course, just to predate the Jimmy Vaccaro welcome to his South Point, to the box, where we now sit, we're about 40 to 50 slot machines, and it was the great conversation when I said to Jimmy Vaccaro, I said, Chrissy was getting settled here from his previous stop up north. And I said, listen, I get this great idea. I talked to Brian Musburger. We're going to go see Michael and relocate slot machines off the casino floor. So he goes, okay, let's go. So we go to Michael's office, and Michael says, hey, I'll use a prop here. I'll use my cheaters here. Michael gone, had his reading glasses on. He looked over him, and he looked at both of us. He said, now what the hell are you two up to? So Jimmy said, Vinny's got a great idea. Tell him, Vincenz. So I pitched the idea of a studio, regardless of what PASPA was going to, what the result was going to be.
This is all pre-PASPA, right?
Pre-PASPA.
Yeah.
And said, listen, he said, why should I do it? I said, well, South Point will be the point of reference for legal sports wagering in North America. There it is. Boom. He said, go see Ryan. Go do it.
That quickly?
That quickly. So we go to see. I said, we'll have an answer. I told Brian Musburger we'll have an answer in 10 minutes. I was wrong. The under hit. It was less than 7. Michael, you go to see Michael, just get to the point, present the facts, and he did it. He said, go see Ryan Growney, our general manager here at the South Point. And Ryan said, same thing. He goes, hey, well, the first thing he said was, I thought you were a casino guy. you want to take slot machines out and do what?
Right, because that's honestly the economics of a place like this. Every little square inch is monetized.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, and the thing about slot machines is they don't call in sick. They work 24/7. They don't need benefits. They just need people. And so it was a prime spot, but Michael realized it. Ryan realized it. And then, Chrissy, Jimmy, and I realized the importance of it. And it's become a great feature here.
Yeah, we talk about the arc of 6.5 years. One of the times that we don't want to just gloss over was during COVID, mm-hmm. and how Michael Gaughan and all y'all were just gracious enough to let us continue in here, yeah. as well. So we were able to broadcast through mm-hmm. the pandemic as well.
Yeah, we were better than the vaccine.
You're better than
the vaccine. No question about it.
Yeah.
Well, I think the other thing too, and it was really difficult for guys like you, is we didn't want to just turn this into sports talk radio. And that's, I'm going to think that Bill 80 was probably one of the guys that directed us in that way. We still kept the focus on sports betting.
Yes.
Not just, we didn't have trivia contests. We didn't have all that other stuff. Which would have been a really easy path to follow. But I think the path that we did follow wound up being showing that we are truly the voice of betting in America. You're better than anybody. And I know all these other big networks are trying to follow suit. And, a guy that's been writing for them for 20 years all of a sudden is a betting expert. I don't think that I think that's going to prove to not be so good. And I want to say, too, Gil, and I went to the wall for you, for one guy, for you to get on this network.
I wouldn't be here without you.
And you have fulfilled everything that I ever envisioned. And I think this show, this one in particular, and there's a lot of good shows on VSiN. This one in particular, I think, is really what VSiN was meant to be. And I think that credit goes to you, my friend. You've done a fantastic job. You really have.
Well, that is very kind of you. I did not expect that.
Gilly, you know me for a while. I call it the way I see it. That's what I'm saying.
The network as a whole has really benefited from being here at the South Point, and it really does come down to the line of it. We couldn't have done it without this, because as I understand it, Vinny, when it first mm-hmm. started, we had the deal with Sirius at the beginning. The only way mm-hmm. the only way this was going to happen was if first there was a studio from mm-hmm. which to broadcast, and secondly, we couldn't have just one big name in Brent. We had to have a second big name. And so when Al Bernstein was signed aboard, mm-hmm. it was that combination of factors that allowed it to happen, as I understand it.
Yeah. No, Al Bernstein was one of the first hosts, and Al did a great job, certainly not just with his knowledge of boxing, but his passion for sports. And at the time, he was, constantly lamenting his beloved Cubs, and then they started to, they became relevant. So he loved that part, but it was a combination of a lot of efforts, and I gotta credit Chris and Jimmy especially too, because when people talk about us, a lot of times they say old school, and people have a different opinion on old school. I'll tell you this: when it came to you, Gil, Chrissy hit on a key point, and this show. We were also going to Brian and Bill and saying, well, these are the people we think will help the network in terms of hosting shows and everything. And you and I had met years ago briefly mm-hmm. at Caesars, but Chrissy and you were very close. All he said was, Gil, I said, you say it, it's good enough.
You're super kind. All of our guys, we got to run, but all of our programming will remain the same. The shows that emanate out of Circa will still emanate out of Circa, and those that have broadcast from here again will do so from the D moving forward, starting right now. Starting from now, this point, there it is. A last look for us anyway at the South Point Hotel Casino. Chrissy, Vinny, thank you guys so much. We could not have done any of this without you two guys.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
And Jimmy, of course, as well.
Absolutely.
From the South Point, the Lombardi Line is next. Enjoy.